It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Yes, I am. Guilty as charged. It is Gil Alexander. It is a numbers game right here at VSiN. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo's Link, Game Plus, iHeartRadio. How you doing, Jason Kahn?
Good. Good morning, Gil. It's very windy out.
Oh, dude. Made a big mistake. Forgot my mask back in the car. Had to walk twice. Not really dressed for the wind all of a sudden here in town.
It's definitely an element.
Was the 70s this weekend. Not so much anymore. On the show today, a smattering. Dan Bespris will join us to talk NBA. Great game yesterday between the Nets and the Bucks, which our primetime action producer, Kelly Bidlin, said he was looking more forward to that than the College Football National Championship. It lived up to the hype. We'll talk to Dano about that. The Warriors come back against the Lakers. We'll talk to him about that as well last night. Just a couple games in the NBA today. Very sparse slate post-MLK Day. And then Andy McNeil to talk hockey with us. And dealing with what we call in other sports bad beats, can you really call them that in hockey if it happens all the time, every night, multiple times? We'll talk to him about that. His thoughts on a pretty robust hockey card tonight as well. Drew Dinsick, his normal Tuesday spot to talk NFL with us. Everything divisional round, everything championship weekend coming up. Todd Wright making an appearance. Todd Wright lives in the greater Tampa area, so he's got thoughts on the championship game as well. So he will be with us. And also, Jason, today, you know, people who have listened to my podcast for years and years and have listened to this show, one of the nice things is if you're on long enough, if you're lucky to be on long enough, they get to know you at different stages in your life. So longtime podcast listeners, they know me when I was basically living at the Hard Rock, doing Hard Rock things. Mm-hmm. And then as you get older and you sort of calm down in life, then you get into a different stage of life. They know you there. Today, I believe I have officially become my father. I have become an old man today because we will talk about NBA Top Shot. You familiar with this, Jason? NBA Top Shot.
I am familiar as of this morning. It is quite an interesting topic, though.
I am officially old because I understand nothing about this and am fascinated by the subject. And I actually am aware of very sharp bettors who are involved in this. And I am flabbergasted because I don't get it because apparently I'm 1,000 years old. So we'll talk about that. Because we talked about baseball cards last week. We're going to talk about NBA Hot Shot. We'll get to it later on the show. And then the curious case of the Mets. GM sending 60 unsolicited texts. That's fun. But I do have a futures wager to talk about in that segment as well. Before we get to Dan Bespris, a couple GM moves in the NFL. The Washington football team. And can we give the WFT, the WOOFT, can we give them credit for the beautiful font they had all year? If you're going to go with football team, make your logo and your font and your helmets awesome. And they did. But this is not a big surprise. They're finalizing a deal with Marty Herney to be their new GM. Per Rap Sheedy and Rappaport, the team should announce the move later today. Marty Herney was part of two Carolina Panthers Super Bowl appearances. Was the guy who hired Ron Rivera back in 2011. So it's a familiar face for Ron Rivera. He did come back to the Panthers because he was fired a couple times there. He came back in 2017 as their interim GM, remained in that job till he was fired this past December, in part because his quote-unquote old-school methods clashed with owner David Tepper's desire to find someone more aligned with an analytics and data-driven approach. So Marty Herney, the new GM for the WOOFT, the Washington football team. So I think that's a pretty comfortable move for Ron Rivera. And so probably ought to be simpatico there in Washington. And then this morning, just before the show, the Atlanta Falcons, the New Orleans front office purge begins to precede what will be a complete stripping down of that football team.
I guess the New Orleans culture is a desirable one to have. They've been a winning organization for a while.
Yeah, so Dave Campbell becomes the coach of the Lions.
And then Dan Campbell, is that what you said?
Dan Campbell, what did I say, Dave Campbell? Dan Campbell. Sure. Dan Campbell. Terry Fontenot announced as their next general manager. Terry Fontenot was the assistant GM with the New Orleans Saints. The Falcons now get Terry Fontenot as their new GM. So a few moves in the NFL with GMs. Did you see the basketball? Did you see the college basketball game between Kansas and Baylor last night? You see Kansas?
I did not.
Heave one at the buzzer. Baylor was favored by 8.5. This kid on Kansas, they say it's 36 feet. Looked longer than that to me. But a 36-footer. Oh, we have a still of it? 77-66, 0.8 seconds left. He heaves it. It counts. Sorry, Baylor Baggers. It's Gil Alexander. It is a numbers game right here at Visa, the sports betting network. Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, and, of course, iHeartRadio. Let's talk some NBA to kick things off today, or to tip things off, I guess would be more appropriate, from the Fantasy NBA Today podcast. The assistant GM at hoop-ball.com, the best audio in the business, and one of the few men who had a podcast on this earth prior to me having one. It's Dan Bespris. How you doing, Dano?
Good morning, Gil. Now, to be fair, I didn't have a podcast for like 8 years in the middle there. So you've long since lapped me.
Really? The whole time I thought you had one, I was like, I got to be Dano. No, I remember.
you got me, dude.
But you had one before I did. And you and I had to like learn the equipment back then. Like, it wasn't like these apps that people use today. They're like, oh, yeah, it's an app on the phone. You just record it. It's no problem. We had to like have wires and equalizers and all that kind of stuff.
I still do.
Yeah, I do too.
I still do that. That's the way that I can. I know you introduced me as the best audio in the business. I'm using like an old school mixer and a microphone with an XLR cable here. I know I'm from the dark ages, but that's how I'm still rolling with this stuff.
That's what it takes to sound like you do, man. I still have all that at home. Before, we did them at the D. Now we do them live at the D, the Megapod, and Guessing Lines and the rest of the podcast through the year. But before that, had the same setup you did. Didn't quite sound as good as yours. Let me just talk about the Nets and the Bucks first here, Dano. Yesterday, the Nets end up winning it outright, and they do so as slight dogs in that game. They closed actually as 4-point dogs. It was 2.5 much of the day, and then it rose to 4-point dogs. Harden and Durant get it done again for the second straight time. 125-123. They stave off the Bucks in this one. 5-2 now. 5-2 straight up without Kyrie. 4 in a row without Kyrie. 2-0 with Harden and KD. Now, the question beyond this game, and I want to get to this game specifically, but when Harden was traded, I immediately said, well, the value's on the Celtics and the Heat, teams like that, to win the East. That's where I would turn my eyes. I don't know. I don't want to overreact. But looking at that team yesterday, good God, man. Who's beating them in the East, man?
Yeah, And you know, we don't know what's going on with Kyrie. It sounds like he might play on Wednesday of this week.
Offensive, Kyrie's middle name, might play.
Yeah.
Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's all right.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a nebulous thing, but they obviously have plenty of offensive firepower with or without him. They're going to eventually need to learn how to defend a little bit, because you get into a shootout every game and you end up in a little bit of a coin flip situation sometimes. From a betting standpoint, I think the only team in the East that I think you could maybe make a case for, someone that could kind of slow it down, would be, well, certainly still the Bucks. Like, they have a shot. I don't know that they've addressed the big issues they had last year in the playoffs or the year before. But the Sixers jumped out at me before the season started as a team that could kind of change the pace of a basketball game a little bit. But offensively, Brooklyn's not going to have any problems. I mean, everybody's like, there's only one basketball. You can't have three basketballs out there. Yeah, but those guys in isolation or even in a pick and roll are going to score on you almost every single time. So that side is a non-factor. They did give up a lot of points. So we kind of have to, temper our expectations a little bit, but if they do figure that side of the ball out, then they're the team to beat. Yeah.
Basketball, you and I have talked about this so many times, and we emphasize this usually during the postseason when everybody's eyes are truly focused on the NBA. But so many of these games, and the point spread involved as well, come down to who do you trust at crunch time? Who do you trust at the ends of these games? Do teams have guys who want the ball? Who's going to take the final shot? With Philly, right, like even when they had the shooters, Bellinelli and Ilyasova, we're like, well, who's the guy who's going to take it in the end? Is it going to be them? Is it going to be Embiid? Even now, like when I think about the Bucks have Middleton and Giannis, but like I don't really know, like do you trust Giannis at the end of games? I don't. I trust multiple guys on the Nets, right? Like if you get Kyrie back, Kyrie, one of the big shot makers ever, let's face it, let's give him that. Harden, we know. Durant, are you kidding me? Like, these guys are assassins at the ends of games. And so you know, to me, the Celtics and the Heat have multiple players where I can consider them maybe the best contenders to it, but boy, it's hard to imagine even them beating this team in a 7-game series.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that one. I do feel like I need to see a little bit more, and then I hate to bring you back to sort of the short view. But yesterday's game was a perfect example of a game where the Bucks, who probably should have won a game like this just based on chemistry alone, got caught up in the hoopla of the marquee matchup. I'm still fading the Nets here in the short term, especially once Kyrie comes back. You're going to have a lot of disjointed play, a lot of turnovers. You're going to have these shootouts that happen with lesser teams also. And so, you know, to me, I feel like the Nets are going to be laying a lot of points here in the next week or two, and they're probably not going to be covering large spreads.
Talking to Dan Bespris from the Fantasy NBA Today podcast, at Dan, B-E-S-B-R-I-S, on Twitter, if you want to follow him there. Golden State and the Lakers, not to belabor, I don't want to be too much on the Nets, but Golden State and the Lakers played last night. I don't know if you caught the end of this game, but the Lakers were up 7 with under 4 minutes left to play, and then it was the Steph and Draymond show. And the Warriors come from behind and win it. Steph as clutch as ever. And I just want to say, as a grown adult, I don't often, you know, in any sport now, it's not like when we were kids, I was like, oh, I love this player, he's my favorite player. I said, Steph Curry is my favorite player ever who's ever played NBA basketball, period. Like, I cannot, I cannot get enough of this dude. And the Warriors end up winning 115 to 113, come from behind, win late as 9-point dogs. They were plus 17 or plus 18 at one point during the game, in game. But they're 7-6, and it's just one game, and the Lakers are still the best team in basketball. But from a Warriors standpoint, can you allow yourself to think that this team could be a bona fide, I don't want to say contender, but like could make noise deep into the Western Conference playoffs, or no?
I'm gonna say no on that one. It really was just sort of a one game. I think that for me, at least, it answered the question of how long could the Lakers treat the regular season like the playoffs? And the answer was like 3.5 ball games, because they were going hard.
Yes,
in
they
those
were.
Games in Houston, in a game against the Thunder. Actually, I guess it was 4.5 games. They came home and they kind of broke the Pelicans after taking them lightly for about one quarter. And then in this one, you got about a half a ball game, maybe 3/4 of a game before the Lakers are like, you know what? Nobody's touching us. And they took their foot off the gas. And then, like you said, Steph has this incredible knack. The timing of what he does on a basketball court just makes you kind of want to scream, a high-pitched scream, too.
That's right.
Not a guttural one. It's like a squeak when you see Steph do fun stuff. And that's what you got yesterday. The Lakers are a far better team than the Dubs. But Steph is always going to be one of the most fun players to watch in the league. And they caught the Lakers napping late in a ballgame. You got to play all 48. And in the regular season, teams don't often do that.
I'm looking for teams. The whole point of this exercise, by the way, from a betting perspective, I'm looking for teams that are going to be undervalued here in the market short term. Can we talk about the Mavericks for a second? So Luka went nuts on Sunday, right? He had like 30 points at the half. They were down 15 still to the Bulls. He ends up with a great triple-double. They never got close, really, in that game against the Bulls. And last night, they lose to the Raptors, who have, how can I be kind here, not exactly been lighting up the NBA this year. They lose by 23. And it's one of these things with the Mavericks where you're like, okay, Luka's going to be great every night. Kristaps, you're like, don't suck. Kristaps, be what you're supposed to be. And then Kristaps has a good game last night. Porzingis does. Hardaway cannot hit the broadside of a barn. I think he was 0 for 12 last night. Let me check on that, because I can't even believe it saying it out loud. But so they haven't been able to really put it together yet with full personnel. Yeah, 0 for 12. 0 for 6 from behind the arc. They haven't really had full personnel on all cylinders on any given night yet. Might they be might the market sort of overreact to this short-term wane by the Mavericks, or is this them?
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's this. So, I mean, I love that angle, because I don't think that the market is treating them like they've been without half of their team for the last week and a half. This is, to me, it's honestly mind boggling that they've been able to continue playing, considering they had, I think it was 4 positive COVID tests on their team, but somehow with contact tracing and luck, maybe that some of the other guys on the club didn't catch it. So they're trotting out all kinds of guys that they were not hoping to play 30 plus minutes a ball game, and then Luka and Kristaps. So they still have the star power. So, you know, in that, it creates this weird blend of what people are seeing versus what they're reacting to. Those guys are gassed right now. Luka, basically at halftime of the Bulls game that you were talking about, he already had that monster triple double. And in the second half, he had like 4 points, four boards, and a couple of assists. He just cooked right now. Rick Carlisle even talked about how they're in this grueling stretch of ball games with most of their team missing. So yeah, they're going to get some guys back here at some point, I think, and they will be undervalued because I think people have sort of forgotten that they're playing kind of 2-on-5 a lot of nights. And once in a blue moon, Tim Hardaway wakes up and has a big ball game, and that helps them immeasurably. But the guys that they're trotting out there right now are not only the guys they didn't want to, but those guys are now tired on top of the fact that they're playing too many minutes. So yeah, this is a team that's about to be undervalued. We just have to wait for that right moment and try to catch them on the upswing.
It's tough in the NBA always with this question, but is there a futures bet of any value that you would make right now? It's such a top-heavy league, and everything is so appropriately priced, and the chances of there being some wild upset, you know, is very minimal. But is there a team, maybe a conference, that you would make a wager on?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The top heavy element of it does make it hard because you want to kind of look at the bottom or at least the middle of the standing and say, is any of one of these teams about to go on a furious run or has an opportunity to make it perhaps out of the Eastern or Western Conference? But I think even at this early juncture, some, you know, 13, 14 games into the season, you've already seen basically all of the really good teams raise to the top. I think the only one you could point at and say, hey, you know, that team did it and they've been bad so far this year and they're missing a bunch of guys would be the Miami Heat at 5-7. But I don't know that I actually expect them to make the same run this year that they made last year. So that's probably the only one where you can look at it and say this could create a little bit of an artificial pocket and they're 10-1 in the graphic you're showing on the screen. Most of the stuff is coming at the top. And as I said earlier, I do think the Sixers have a weird kind of outside shot at it because they're built different than the other teams. And you know, uncertainty maybe actually creates a tiny bit of value in this one instance.
Yeah, the Heat was who I focused on the other day. That'd be the only thing I would even consider. And then we conclude here, Dano, because this is my producer Jason Kahn's favorite question because he is immersed in the MVP discussion. Bill Simmons, who has a vote on this award, was talking the other day about how, you know, and he was careful to couch it like, hey, you know, like I'm not supposed to say too much.
He was asking the question.
Just asking the question randomly about MVP. And kind of in the process, I don't want to say stumped for, that's not the right word, just made a case for LeBron James, who is still double digits, right? Still like 10-1 in this.
I may have gotten him at 10-1 yesterday.
Yeah. So I'm curious what you think about MVP. I believe it was you, correct me if I'm wrong, who I think cleverly used the phrase earlier, they're doing everything they can possibly do to give it to Luka this year. I don't know if that was you or not.
Yeah.
You know, is it, would you still have that same opinion? You know, there are random guys all over the league doing things like Bradley Beal, whenever the Wizards play, scores 1,000 points a night, right? There's guys like that. Jokic is a thought. But what do you think about that market right now?
Yeah, I mean, of all of those non-key guys, well, you know, they're all key guys, I guess, so that's probably not the right way to phrase it. I do think Luka can still, I think that's still the guy that they want to kind of shoehorn into it. The fact that his team is losing a couple games right now and undermanned isn't really helping or hurting the case. There's a lot of season left to go, but they do need to play better. They need to put some wins under their belt to kind of help create that case. Jokic is actually a really interesting one because he is, I would say right now, playing maybe the best basketball of anybody in the NBA. He's averaging 25, 11, and 10. He came into this season fit for the first time in maybe his entire career. So the short layoff, it seemed, actually kind of helped Jokic this time around. He looks thin. He's playing hard every night. The Nuggets have been kind of meh on the defensive side, so maybe that doesn't help it either. I would make a slight case for Paul George as well. He's come out with this prove-it attitude. I know his numbers maybe not quite as flashy as Jokic, as Luka. I don't think it's going to Giannis this year. I don't think they want to do that again. But, you know, if the Clippers have a fantastic season, there is a, again, kind of an outside track on that one. But I think ultimately they do still want to find a way to get it to Luka. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's not what's happening, but all of the preseason buzz, all of the early season buzz was Luka. He's, you know, they're trying to get him into all the marquee games, all the TV stuff. So that's still kind of the direction I would look on that one.
All right. Anything finally tonight? There's only two games. OKC, Denver. Denver favored by 9.5. New Orleans, Utah. Jazz favored by 6. Anything on those two tonight?
Yeah, we had this conversation tonight with only two NBA games. But that's an oh well.
Yes.
I think if anything at all, what's our segment now? Things that plays that make you barf in your mouth.
Plays that make you barf in your mouth, which you're pretty solid on so far.
Yeah, they're, you know, aside from the poor taste in the mouth, the plays are going
right.
Okay.
No, that part. I don't
really have anything tonight. I think if I was going to do anything at all, it would be sort of a fun money play on the Thunder. The Nuggets are not playing great defense. It's improving. And Jamal Murray is talking about how his elbow hurts every time he shoots the basketball. So for the Nuggets, without one of their two main guys, I think they maybe let the Thunder hang around a little bit, but nothing big tonight.
Okay. Luka, by the way, just to clarify, about 4-1 to win the MVP at shops like DraftKings. 4-1 on Luka right now. Jokic, 8-1. Where are you, LeBron? 10-1. All right. That's definitely a play that'll make you barf in your mouth, Dano. You've lived up to the billing. Appreciate it. Dan Bespris, thank you, sir.
Thanks, Gil.
Always fun. Dano, Dan Bespris, at Dan, B-E-S-B-R-I-S. We'll come back. The curious case of the Mets GM that was fired and a futures bet. Oh, yeah. Not the Aussie Open. Everybody calm down. Coming back on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
With the football playoffs and basketball and hockey games every week, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip, rather. With your state-issued ID to open an account, start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Doesn't matter the sport. Doesn't matter your betting style. You're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. We're at Mandalay Bay every Saturday and Sunday. I know you go down there, Jason. We invite everybody to check us out there. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Going on vacation after the Super Bowl. That's when we go on vacation. I will give my Australian Open picks before then. Typically, in a typical year, the Aussie Open is played right around now, like next week kind of thing, or this week. But pandemic, quarantining, pushed back to February. So it's going to be weird timing, so I'll give them out before I go. The reason I haven't yet is because I've made some bets. I want to make a couple more bets before I talk about it on air. By the way, on the women's side, not on the men's side. Men's side, it's very simple. It's jokers to lose. Maybe pick someone on the other side of the bracket. I did make one futures bet yesterday. I did finally bite in on the Mets, the New York Metropolitans, to win the World Series. And you can get that, what, about 12-1 in town? Something like that? Like consensus is the best I think you can get. You still find double digits. That's where I got it. And it had nothing to do with the GM being fired yesterday. Let me just state that. Although, since I bring it up, did you see this thing, man? So Jared Porter, the Mets fired, here it is from SportsCenter, the Mets have fired GM Jared Porter, according to owner Steve Cohen. The news comes less than 24 hours after ESPN's Mina Kimes and Jeff Passan reported that Porter sent graphic uninvited text messages and images to a female reporter in 2016 when he was with the Cubs.
Those darn uninvited text messages will get you.
Yeah, well, he sent 60 of them.
Yeah, it's a little too many.
It's a little too many. Yeah, I would say so. You know, 56, 57. No, seriously, dude.
Once you're
60?
In your 30s, yeah, it's crazy.
We don't need to joke about this. That's just awful. That's just awful. 60 deep, this guy. And they got progressively worse. First, it was like, if I might just be graphic, earmuffs, kids. You know, first it was like, you know, exterior of the pants, having to use your imagination. By the end, it wasn't, there was no imagination required. Let's just put it that way.
That's disappointing.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
And so they had to fire him, and they did. He had just been hired, right? Like, he wasn't with the team very long.
He was hired last month, yeah.
December 13th, 41 years old. Can you imagine? You're hired as the Mets GM, 41 years old, December 13th, a month and change later, donezo because you deserve to be donezo.
Bad decisions.
Jeez, it's awful. But I did, you know, look, when they made the trade for Lindor and for Carrasco, the Mets, that was the day we were doing the Megapod over the D. We were joking last week, me and Jason were, like, we've gotten so slow on the draw on some of these things. Like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to be doing this podcast. I should have been making a bet. And so sort of missed out the best numbers that day. But the Mets are all in. Like, the Padres are all in. The Mets are all in. And so you wonder, this, the reason that I finally decided to do it is because I don't think that's the end, like, of the big splashy names coming there. There's a couple guys out there where if the Mets end up with them, you're not going to see those numbers again. Look, futures markets suck anyway. Like, let's not act like these are awesome wagers, you know. But just to have that in pocket, thought I'd want one. But, I mean, guys, who am I talking about? Guys like George Springer? Where is he going to end up? Is he going to end up in Toronto? Or is he going to end up in New York with the Mets? That would be a heck of an addition to the lineup. Not that Houston sports fans need any more bad news, but that would be a heck of a pickup. And then there's, you know, a rotation that already right now is penciled in for DeGrom, Thor, you know, Stroman, Carrasco, not necessarily in that order, but think about those names. What are you doing if you're Trevor Bauer? You going to sign with the Dodgers? You going to sign with the Angels? You going to sign with the Mets? I don't know.
Not the Angels.
I'm just saying, every free agent I come up with, the Mets are a possibility. So, I made the bet on the Mets. GM being fired notwithstanding. I can think of some candidates for that GM job, but I'll keep those to myself. We'll come back. Andy McNeil on hockey and the notion of bad beats. Drew Dinsick on the NFL. Todd Wright. And I talk about how old I am because I don't understand NBA Top Shot. We'll get to that. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
If you're betting $22 hoping that meaningless free throw rims out or begging for two goals and extra time to hit that miracle 14 parlay, we have a suggestion. Take $22 and invest it in your sports betting success. Become a VSiN All Access member today and get all of our expert VSiN betting analysis for less than $22 per month. Daily emails, 24/7 video access, points bet weekly, and betting 101 strategy guides. It's everything you need to increase your sports betting IQ. Place a bet on yourself right now at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. We have multiple screens in here. By far, the best commercials on television these days are those Dr. Rick Progressive commercials.
Without a doubt.
Oh, my God, are those funny.
If you printed out directions to get here, you've come to the right place.
Joaquin? It gets me every
Keanu.
Time. Those are the ones where he's like, no one cares. No one cares what you're eating.
You woke up early. No one cares.
No one cares. It's open up a PDF to you. They nailed so many of those perfectly. And the one that I am absolutely guilty of, making noise when you sit up and stand up now. One of the ways you know you're getting older.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. Something audible comes out of your mouth. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. Don't say anything.
Blue.
He has blue hair.
It's blue hair.
Okay, so yesterday on Primetime Action, I host that with Matt Brown, with Danielle Alvari, and with Kelly Bidlin. We do it every weekday night from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific, but 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern. We were doing Super Bowl look-ahead lines only four possible matchups, obviously, with four teams left, and what our guesses would be. And it turns out that William Hill actually has them, and then we did the big old reveal on what they were. But for the Buccaneers versus the Chiefs, my guess was Chiefs. Now, this is assuming Patrick Mahomes is playing football, which by then, whatever happens in the championship game, we would assume be able to play in the Super Bowl 2 weeks later. I said Chiefs minus four. We had some threes. We had some two and a halves. It can't be more than four because it would be Tom Brady involved. William Hill has it at three, minus 355 and a half. Packers Chiefs. I had Chiefs minus three. We had some minus two and a halves. We pretty much came to the conclusion it was either going to be minus two and a half or minus three. And it is, in fact, Chiefs minus two and a half. Total 57, by the way, over there at William Hill. Buccaneers Bills. This we all decided. I immediately said pick them. And I said, and then we said it could toggle back and forth, like one team favored by one and a half, the other team favored by one and a half. But essentially, it would toggle around the pick'em. It is, in fact, a pick'em, 53 and a half, Bucks Bills.
That Packers Chiefs is a rematch of Super Bowl I.
Yes. Yes, it is. Can you name the guy who scored multiple touchdowns in that, Smarty Pants?
Aaron Rodgers?
No. Max McGee. Bills versus, thank you for that, though. That would be a rematch. Super Bowl one. It was not called the Super Bowl apparently at the time.
The big game?
Something like that. Not the big, yeah, but they had some, I don't know what they called it, but it wasn't the Super Bowl. It was only like called the Super Bowl a couple years later with like the name of thing, I think. And then Bills Packers, I had minus 2.5 on this one in favor of the Packers. Maybe three, but minus 2.5. It ends up being minus two. Packers in favor of the Bills, minus 254. Point being with all of that, those are about, your guess was, you know, no matter what your guess was, it wasn't that far off, period, on all these. And no matter the matchup, barring the unforeseen, obviously if there's a major injury or if one of these teams wins a championship game, you know, in just blowout fashion and the other one that gets the Super Bowl just sort of lucks out somehow, maybe like some outlying thing like that might alter these. But generally speaking, no matter the matchup in the Super Bowl, this is going to be tight. This is going to be real tight. So those are the four lines over there at William Hill. Chiefs by three over the Bucks. Chiefs by 2.5 over the Pack. Bills Bucks is a pick 'em. Bills Packers. Packers are favored by two. Yeah, any surprise on those totals, Jason? How about 57? You think the betting public will bet that up? Do you think we'll feel a 60 at some point?
I don't know if we'll feel a 60, but it feels like 57 is probably not high enough for that matchup. But I got burned on the over against Cleveland last week.
I think Matt Brown said about the other three games, and I agree with him. The other three seem high. 55.5 Bucks Chiefs, 53.5 Bucks Bills, 54 Bills Packers. You had some other stuff, the MVP as well. Super Bowl MVP is available to bet in some spots. We touched on these. We touched on the primetime action. I can never remember if we do it on a numbers game either. But essentially what I was saying before last week was, you look at the Mahomes MVP, I think it was like 3-1, and Aaron Rodgers was 6-1 before last week. Those are pretty interesting bets. If you have conviction on either of those teams, those were the bets to make at those moments. Oh, there it is now. This is courtesy of BetMGM. So last week, Mahomes was plus 325. Rodgers was plus 525. Allen was 9-1. Brady was 12-1. And I was advocating the Aaron Rodgers thing for me because I think the Packers are winning it all. I have them beating the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, despite the fact that I have Chiefs futures. Well, these have changed now, and Aaron Rodgers is the short shot. And while if you do the math and you do the whole moneyline parlay thing on these, maybe these aren't the greatest numbers in the world. Interesting ways to bet a team going the distance. If you believe, and this is the big if, that if the Packers are to win, the Chiefs are to win, the Bills are to win, and the Buccaneers are to win, that those guys, the quarterbacks and the quarterbacks only, will be the guys to win the MVP. Because if you believe that, this would be an interesting market to bet for you. And if you think about, like, what would the other candidates be? Well, in the Packers' case, you're hard-pressed. I mean, maybe if Devontae went crazy, you could see him winning an MVP. But come on. It's Rodgers' year, MVP of the league. I'd be hard-pressed to imagine somebody else winning the Super Bowl MVP if the Packers win the Super Bowl. Could happen. Not saying it couldn't. but I'd be hard-pressed to imagine it. Mahomes, on the other hand, I don't know. Kelce, Tyreek, maybe you could see that going elsewhere on the Chiefs because they are star-studded. Josh Allen, boy, be hard to imagine. Tom Brady's the one that absolutely I couldn't imagine because they will bend over backwards to give that guy that MVP award if the Bucs win the Super Bowl. Perhaps justified, perhaps not. But anyway, just an interesting market to look at. Was more interesting last week when we talked about it on Primetime Action because I really thought the Aaron Rodgers, and by the way, plus 525, I don't think was the best number you could get on it. You could have gotten a 6-1. That, I just feel destiny with Aaron Rodgers. And we did our brackets before the playoffs started, and I have the Packers beating the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I just think it's their year. But we don't, you know, Patrick Mahomes, we'll see. We don't even know if he's playing this week. That, still to be determined. Drew Dinsick will join us to talk more NFL later, as will Todd Wright. But next, Andy McNeil, full hockey slate. But before we even get into his picks, the notion of bad beats in hockey. When does something stop becoming a bad beat when it happens not only every night, but multiple times a night? With maybe multiple bets of yours on a given night. Coming back right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
New BetMGM customers have a chance to win $100 when you place a $1 wager. Well, that was yesterday on the Lakers or the Warriors to hit a three. Let's see here. Yeah, that was yesterday. So we'll see what the game it is tonight. But you've downloaded the app today. Use promo code VSIN100. Once we get the game for you, we'll figure it out for you where you can win $100. Just with $1 bet. New customer offer. Paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, or West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. And 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, call or text the red line at 800-889-9789. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Indiana, promotional offer not available in the state of Nevada. Keanu, Joaquin. It's a great commercial. Andy McNeil, kind enough to join us this morning. We tweeted out the wrong time, Jason.
Producer error.
He's got things to do. He's got a life. He's got kids. It's Andy McNeil, everybody, from Edmonton, Alberta. How you doing, Andy?
Kids, not plural. Keanu. I don't think I can handle more than one.
I'm sorry. Apologize. I overshot on that. Listen. We often come here and you give out picks or you give out futures, whatever. We talk about your betting guide, which is still very much in full effect. You wrote something for the New York Post, which I think is super relatable to all who bet all kinds of sports, but specifically in hockey, and certainly here in the early going this year, this has complete relevance. It's called Bettors Shouldn't Overreact to the Early NHL Scoring Trend. Explain, sir.
The fine people over at the New York Post, they actually had a way better headline in the print version, and it was more relating to the swings of the NHL season, because that was the overall theme of the article. The swing that we experience on a nightly basis, on like a season long basis, and you just have to learn to ride the waves, because there really are so many of them. I experienced something pretty ridiculous over the weekend. I had an under that went into the third period. 1-0, 5 goals later, it went over. And then I had an over that went into the third period, 1-1, and 5 goals later, it went over. So, I mean, that was my Saturday night, and it was also my Monday night, except for the reverse happened, because we were on the Carolina Hurricanes and the Nashville Predators over 5.5 goals. That cashed not easily, but it got there. And then on the other side of the coin, we had the Arizona Coyotes fail to hold on to a 2-0 win, and also let that game go over, letting the Golden Knights score 4 unanswered goals. So, you know, it's just something you've got to deal with. You've got to learn to live with it.
You got to learn to live with it, and it happens, as you said, and certainly in the early going, it happens in this NHL season. It happens multiple times in a given night. Sometimes you're on all the games where it's happening. Do you view it? And by the way, great point about the article title. Can we just also, Andy and I would like to register a complaint sometimes on video clips on Twitter, if we could have better headlines as well that are more appropriate to what we're talking about.
Whose job is that?
I don't know. Jason, whose job is that? Do you expect this kind of thing to continue? I mean, I guess there's no way you can predict such a thing, but you should expect it to continue, I guess, is what you're saying. You can't expect it, you know, to be aberrational. Like, this is just hockey, and this is just what it is.
For sure, yeah. And to the credit of the person that did write that headline, there is a bit in the article about the scoring trend. We saw goals being scored at a pretty high rate through the first few days. That kind of evened out though by Sunday. I'm not sure where we're at now as far as the league average, but I would just urge people not to overreact to like league average scoring trends. They fluctuate a lot. You know, we're gonna be around that 6 mark, which is the average. It has been the past few seasons. So some weeks we're going to see goals around 7 per game. Some weeks it's going to be down around 5. You know, there's going to be stretches. It's really tough. It's like catching a falling knife if you're trying to figure out what's maybe causing a scoring spike or a dip league wide.
This is a ridiculous question because we're only a few games into the season. Anything else? Like, look, I don't want you to make any conclusions based on just a few games, a couple games for some teams. But is there anything that you sort of noticed or you're like, well, I do have to follow this. Let's see if this is something. Sort of a broad question. Maybe regarding a team.
I want to see, the Red Wings, can they score goals? They look like a much more competent team. Like I predicted, they weren't going to be the historically bad team that they were in 2019-20. But I'm wondering, can this team put any offense together? Because they're going to really fall back into that defensive shell, or at least that's what it looks like. They'll have a little bit better luck doing that this season because they've got more competent goaltending. But that's a team I'm wondering about offensively. And then the same goes for another bad Central Division team, the Chicago Blackhawks. We knew defense and goaltending were going to be problems, but this usually is an offensive team, but they're without their two top line centers. So how are they going to score goals? I know Mitch and Pauly were talking about Blackhawks games and high totals, and how are you going to bet under in these games? And I'm not sure how you're going to bet over in some of these games because, are the Blackhawks going to be able to score any goals? So it's going to be tough.
Talking to Andy McNeil at Digital Gambler. That is his Twitter handle. Again, the hockey guide still available, the 2021 NHL betting guide, right there at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe for that. Pretty robust slate on a day where there's only 2 NBA games post-MLK Day. We have 9 games in hockey today. Anything that you are playing, sir, at this point?
Yeah, it's a pretty busy week overall. I know I looked ahead to next week wondering if I was going to get a break at any point, and it looks like I will after the weekend. It slows down a little bit. But no, I haven't actually played anything yet today. I'm waiting for some news. I know I talk a lot about anticipation and everything, but we're living in a different world in 2021 where you have to be a little bit more careful. So, there's some things that I'm waiting on. I'm curious to hear the status of Patrick Laine. He was on the ice for a few minutes yesterday with the Winnipeg Jets. He left the ice. He did not play against the Maple Leafs. I didn't get to watch a whole lot of that game, but it sounded like they got run off the ice outside of the scoreboard. The underlying metrics were pretty bad. I'm looking at maybe playing the Winnipeg Jets against the Ottawa Senators, depending on the price, depending if Hellebuck goes again. I know Matt Murray's in net for the Sens tonight. I'm just monitoring things. I mean, for me at the start of the season, I think a lot of the prices, specifically sides, which is why I've been playing a little bit or a lot more totals, I guess. But specifically sides, I feel are priced you know, fairly accurately, we've shaped these season win total or season point total markets. The bookmakers have a pretty good idea of where we're at on every team. So it's, for me, it's especially early in the season, it's kind of waiting for things to reveal themselves, waiting for an overreaction or of some sort, something to reveal itself, and then I'll enter the market.
Makes sense. Stamkos, by the way, second goal in game two for the Lightning. Just want to point that out for those who might have interest in such a thing. And then finally, sorry, go ahead. What did you want to say?
Oh, I just called him Daddy.
Daddy, that's right. per the tweet we referenced the other day. Last thing for those here in Las Vegas. Look, Golden Knights, again, it's only three games, but they couldn't have gotten off to a better start. And some wins in pretty solid, some in dramatic fashion. They feel like one of these teams that whatever is thrown at them, they figure it out. Do you get that sense from them early going?
Yeah, I mean, I was in that first period. It was 1-0 Coyotes, and I'm thinking, like, I don't even know how this game is under right now. The Golden Knights had so many chances. It was just it was a ridiculous turn of events there. And then they you know, really battled hard. I still want to see more out of this team. Obviously, we've got to see the matchup against the Colorados and the St. Louis and teams like that. But yeah, they're a really, really good hockey team. I think, you know, you guys can read my piece in Point Spread Weekly this week. I kind of share some thoughts on all four divisions and just some early thoughts, I guess. I've always found it helpful to get an outside perspective, you know, as far as, you know, how to kind of react to things early in the season. And you know, the goaltending has been rough throughout the league. So the Knights are a team I talk about, other top teams. I want to see them play some stiffer competition before I get excited about any one team, you know, relative to what I've had going into the season.
Makes sense. Andy, we will talk, if not later this week, we'll talk next week. And we'll get your pulse then, get some picks. We appreciate it as always, man.
Hey man, I'm around. Just ask.
Okay, I think I know how to reach you, Andy McNeil. Everybody at Digital Gambler. There's the Hockey Guide once again, 2021 NHL Betting Guide. Carte blanche. He can come on this show whenever he wants about hockey thoughts, especially as football winds down.
And I'll be sure to get the time correct.
Yeah, man. Don't make him, like, you know, be ready for a different time.
Apologies, a thousand apologies.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is Kiss the Degenerate on Baylor, Kansas. We were talking about this earlier. Basketball game that is clearly out of reach, a few seconds left. Why is it wrong for the team with the lead to keep shooting, but the team down can just have a freaking shooting contest? Gentlemen's agreement? He's referring to the Chris Tien shot, 36-footer yesterday, that made it from an 11-point margin to 8, and what do you know? The spread was 8.5. So Baylor backers just get absolutely screwed by that, just heaved it. I'm more interested, Kiss the Degenerate, in what we like to call the quid pro quo at the end of games. The opposite, where a team that's way up, and again, they're not aware of what the spread is, but we are, a team that's way up, let's say they get the ball, let's say they're up 9 points and they get the ball with 31 seconds left, and they're just out of courtesy, they just dribble the shot clock out. We talk about this all the time. The famous quid pro quo from a numbers game. My buddy E famously sending in a email to J.J. Redick for his podcast about this question. Redick answered it on air. It's just the funniest thing. He's like, one of my listeners knows what quid pro quo means. But if they run out that shot clock, the team that was given that courtesy, who's way down 9 points, shouldn't they just run out the last 7 seconds? Because oftentimes they'll just roll to the hoop or they'll toss up a three.
Yes, they should.
Come on, there's a quid pro quo here. Right?
Sportsmanship.
There's a tacit agreement. If they do you that courtesy, just eat the ball. How many times does a spread get beat on something like that? That's the part that bothers me the most. Drew Densick coming back. We'll talk NFL next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.